Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
I hope you are not tired of the subject of false teachers, because Peter is not through with that subject. And since he's not, neither are we. Now, the second chapter of 2 Peter opens by introducing this theme of false teachers. They were perhaps alluded to in chapter 1 without direct reference, but he introduces them very deliberately in chapter 2 when he says in verse 1, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you." And with that introduction, he then goes on to describe their motives, their methodology, and their characteristics, and their destruction. He tells us many things about them, going on verse after verse after verse on this subject, because it is obviously a vitally important one. Now, most recently, we've been looking at the description of false teachers in verses 13 and 14, which I will now read, where he says, "They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children." Wow. What a description, and he's not done yet. Now, the first five of the items in this list we have already covered. He tells us that these false teachers are, number one, driven by sinful pleasure, number two, determined to maintain a Christian identity, third, consumed by sexual desires, fourth, seduce weak believers, five, are experts in greed, and now number six, which we'll take up today, they are living under God's curse. A number of times throughout this passage on false teachers, Peter reminds us that they are headed to destruction. And here's the way he puts it in this particular description. And are accursed children. They are accursed children. They are living under God's curse. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about what that means as we gather together around the Word of God on this Tuesday, March 17. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for remembering that we depend upon financial support from our radio listeners. They are accursed children, or children of a curse might be a more literal rendering. Now, this is not unusual language. We might not find that exact phraseology elsewhere, but we find elsewhere in the Bible people are talked about as being children of wrath or children of disobedience. And so here to find people described as children of a curse is not really strange language. We get the idea. Children of wrath are those who are under the wrath of God. Children of disobedience are those who are walking in the path of disobedience, and therefore children of a curse, or here accursed children, are those who are living under God's curse. It's the opposite of God's blessing. These are those from whom God's blessing is withheld. They are under God's curse, which is another way of saying that they are under God's judgment. God's judgment is hanging over them. His full and final judgment has not yet fallen, but they are already existing under the judgment of God. They are already living under divine condemnation, which is another way of saying that they are unregenerate. They are lost. They have never been born again. You see, everybody in this world is either under the curse of God or else are in Christ who bore that curse for us. Those are the only two possibilities. We are either under condemnation or we have been removed from condemnation because our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, took that condemnation in our place. So there are two categories. And it's clear from Peter's language that these false teachers are under, or should I say, are in the category of those who are under God's curse. They are not in Christ. The curse for them has not been borne by Christ and is therefore removed from them. No, they are living under God's curse in spite of what they claim. Contrary to their claim, remembering as we do that they insist upon a Christian identity, oh, they are determined that they must be identified as Christians, that you must recognize them as Christians. Earlier he had said they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you, while they come to your agape meal, while they come to church, while they come to the Lord's table, they are living like lascivious reprobates, but they still come to church and want to be recognized as a Christian. So they are claiming to be Christians, but Peter makes it very clear their claim is false. That's not what they are. They are not God's children. They are accursed children. The very opposite. Now, folks, we've got to pay attention to what the Bible says. We must not be deceived. The Bible is very clear. He who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. In other words, you can tell more about a person's inward condition by the way they live than by what they claim, what they profess. That's a lesson that some people find very difficult to imbibe, to understand, to embrace. Some people are just so naive and so ignorant of Scripture or unwilling to accept what the Scripture says, and so they want to accept at face value any and all professions of faith in Christ. If a person says they believe in Christ, then I'm going to accept them as a Christian. If a person says that there was a time when they asked Jesus into their heart, then I'm going to assume that they are a Christian no matter how they live. Well, the Bible tells us not to be so foolish, not to think that way. The Bible is teaching us that the way a person lives manifests the true condition of their standing and state before God, far more than whatever they may profess, whatever Christian identity they want to manifest, what that they want to project, the image they want to project. But be wise. Now, this is particularly difficult in the case of our relatives and loved ones whom we want to think are going to heaven, because the alternative is such an awful thought. And so in spite of the fact of the way that they are living, like children of wrath, if they ever made a profession of faith, we many times want to hold on to the hope that they are a child of God and are just living a backslidden life. Well, there is such a thing as backsliding. We need to understand various biblical categories, and it is possible to backslide. Certainly, King David in the Old Testament is a primary example of one who backslid, and rather badly, and we can find other examples throughout Scripture of true children of God who slipped and fell into sin, but none who stayed there very long, because God's true children are always rescued from that sinful condition and returned to a life of godliness, not perfection. There is no such thing as sinless perfection this side of eternity, but a life of basic godliness, a life that is given to pleasing the Lord. So when you see someone who doesn't seem to have any desire to please the Lord, they don't give any thought to what God desires of them, what God expects of them. They show no interest in the Word of God, no interest in pleasing Christ. They obviously are living to please themselves, and that's the way they live year after year after year after year. What conclusion should you draw? Peter makes it very plain right here. People like that are in the category of children of wrath, children of disobedience, because that's the way they're living. They are living a consistent and persistent life of disobedience to Christ, the one that they claim to belong to, the one that they claim to believe in, the one that they claim to be identified with, but their persistent disobedience to the claims of Christ, that is what Christ says in his word about how his followers are to live in order to please him, they ignore the claims of Christ persistently, show no desire to follow him, to please him. They're not people who are stumbling and are repentant because of their stumbling, are ashamed because of their stumbling, and are wrestling with how to become better and more consistent followers of Jesus Christ because that is their basic desire. Oh, no. They just don't have any thought of that. There's no indication that this is on their radar screen. They're not trying to figure out how to please Christ. They just ignore that and go on year after year living lives that are totally given to pleasing themselves. Well, what do we say about people like that? We say what the Bible says about them. They are accursed children. And we need to come to terms with the fact that many people who profess to be saved are going to hell. Many people who have made a profession of faith in Christ are going to hell. There are a lot of empty professions, a lot of counterfeit claims. A true Christian is one who has a changed heart. And a changed heart will change one's direction and change one's desires and change one's vocabulary and change one's interests in life. It changes everything. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It changes everything. And so just look at the direction of a person's life. Look at their interests and desires, and that will tell you the true condition of their heart. How about you? Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.